This is the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD, brought to us by Hilo Auto Sales, online at HiloAutoSales.com, and Tire Pros of Frederick. Last few weeks, we've had an opportunity to listen to some sermon messages that were shared in the area by yours truly, me. That's Troy Skinner, the host of the program. And today, I am not moderating a panel discussion because, well, this is the dog days of summer, as they say, and scheduling conflicts continue to rear their ugly head. But fortunately, at least I think fortunately, I've had an opportunity to preach a few times in the area of late, and I've got audio for some of that. And so I've got another message here that you haven't heard before, and I'm going to share that with you. It is based on the second epistle of John, the first 11 verses. I'm not going to give too much away now. We'll hear the first half of it this week, and then we'll hear the last half of it next week. The show just isn't long enough to contain the entire message. So that's what we're going to do here. And again, I apologize for not having panel discussions, but hopefully this is a reasonable substitute for you, and you're getting something out of it on the Faith Debate. We will have a panel discussion show coming up soon. I've been talking to some folks and getting things lined up. We just couldn't quite get it together fast enough. So here we are, the first half of a message called Truthers, Lovers, and Liars on the Frederick Faith Debate.
Thank you. Good morning. I want to thank Carl and Jace and Vern and the rest of the leadership at Poolsville Baptist for once again welcoming me into your pulpit to share God's word with you today. And special day, happy Father's Day. In case you forgot it was Father's Day, check Facebook later. I'm sure you'll be reminded over and over and over and over and over again. Although that doesn't mean it's really Father's Day. Does Facebook always have what's true? Actually, that connects to a theme that we're going to be touching on this morning, about truth and lies and falsehoods. And this isn't a Father's Day message per se. However, I think we can apply it as such when we consider that we have a Heavenly Father. And on Father's Day, we like to give our fathers gifts, tokens of our appreciation. So I'm going to suggest to you today that what we focus on today, what you walk away from hopefully, what we learn from God's Word today will be something that we can apply. And when we apply it, we can think of it as our gift back to our Heavenly Father. So I made a joke about finding the truth on Facebook. It raises the question, what is truth? It is a famous question. You might remember reading it in your Bible. Pontius Pilate says it when he's standing before Jesus, questioning him. He says in the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 38, what is truth? And this question still rings out today, all these hundreds, thousands of years later. An entire worldview has been built upon a premise and has gained momentum in recent decades that questions the very existence of truth. It carries the label of postmodernism. Now, put simply, perhaps a little unfairly, too simply, but put simply, postmodernism is a philosophy that holds that there is no truth, or at least that there's no way for anyone to really know that they have the truth. Everything is relative. You have your truth, I have my truth. If any of us can really even be sure that our own truth is the truth. Do you wrestle with such questions? Know some people who do? What is love? There's another great all-time philosophical question. What is love? There are thousands of answers. I know this for a fact because I've read the Love Is comic strip over the years. It's been with us since the 1960s. It was originally written by Grove Cassidy, who has passed on, and yet the Love Is comic strip continues now, even after her death, under her pen name of Kim Cassidy. Love is. Why does it continue? Because we continue to wrestle with what is love. The comic strip continues, one might suppose, because they haven't quite got it right yet in the comic strip. Perhaps it means more to say than to say love is being able to say you're sorry. Love is what gives you a smile from ear to ear. Love is turning his head. Love is going into meltdown when he kisses you. Is this what love is? Do you wrestle with comprehending love or know people who do? What is falsehood? In an age that is seemingly intent on denying the very existence of truth and intent on redefining everything as a mere social construct, things like sexuality and race and biological sex, which has come to be referred to as gender, all of these things are up in the air now. So can anything really be called false anymore? And if so, can any false ideas be of real importance if they're false? Can false understandings cause problems if they're false? Can false teachers be a problem if what they teach is false? Do you wrestle with questions such as these? Do you wrestle with the idea of falsehood or know anybody who might? Now, whether you personally wrestle with questions like this about truth and love and falsehoods, we have evidence that the Bride of Christ, the Church, has faced these questions since the initial days, the early days of Christ's Church. Part of this evidence is found in a letter that has been preserved for us. We find it in our New Testament, written by the Apostle John in approximately AD 90. That's when most people think it was written. So we're going to read that. If you would, open your Bibles to 2 John, if you're not sure exactly where that is. It's in the New Testament. In fact, it's all the way almost to the back. So go towards the very end of your Bible, not the Gospel of John. You're going to find the letters of John. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John are there in sequence. We're going to be looking at 2nd John, which is also sometimes called the 2nd Epistle of John, or if you're in Europe, 2 John. We're going to read it together. It's only 13 verses long. We are going to read the first 11 verses. The elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son be with us in truth, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. Let's pause for a moment to pray. Father, we thank you for the confidence that we can have in the truth of your word. And we ask that you would help us to hear it clearly and to apply it to our lives. I thank you for the reminder I received this morning in talking to one of these congregants today who asked, how do you know the Bible is true? Indeed, how do we know? We know by the gift of you, our Father, who has given us a faith and an insight through your Holy Spirit to believe, to recognize your truth when we see it. We ask that you would steel us and steady us to do a better job of proclaiming and defending your truth. Your truth that pronounces that judgment has been rendered on our sin and paid for by Jesus Christ for all who will trust in him. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. In the 1992 movie A Few Good Men, which is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year, if you can believe it, Colonel Nathan Jessup, played by Jack Nicholson, famously yelled, "You can't handle the truth." He had been relentlessly pressed for the truth while sitting on the stand in a courtroom, pressed by a character played by Tom Cruise. And he was resistant to telling the truth. He knew the truth, but it was a difficult truth. It was a truth that in his mind, others were not prepared to receive. Others would not understand the truth, or they would misunderstand the truth. And so Colonel Jessup, he kept the truth to himself until right after that climactic moment when he said, "You can't handle the truth." Can you handle the truth? If you are a Christ follower, then you have no choice. You must handle the truth. You have been called to be a caretaker, defender, and pronouncer of the truth. Let's take a peek back at the first three verses of John's letter that we read just a moment ago. It'll help set the scene for why I have said so far what I have said. 2 John, verses 1 through 3, says, "The elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son be with us in truth and love." This letter is written by the elder, it says. It is widely accepted in the church that this elder is John, the apostle who walked with Jesus as a disciple during Christ's three-year earthly ministry. Not going to take the time to try to prove that right now. Not sure that I could ironclad prove it, but it's pretty widely, generally, there is a consensus belief that this is the Apostle John writing this letter, and I have no reason to doubt that, and so we are going to move forward this morning with the presumption that it is John who is writing to us here. And he is writing to a group of people who believe in the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, in large part probably because of John's teaching and because of his other letters. And refers to this group to whom he's writing as the lady chosen by God and her children. Now, it's possible that he is writing to one particular lady and her particular family. But I believe that John is writing to a congregation of believers, perhaps a house church of believers, meeting in a lady's house where her children also lived, but a larger congregation than that. I think that when he says lady, he's talking to the church here, a congregation of believers. Not that much different than the congregation of believers gathered here today. We're not meeting in a house. We're not on the run for our lives. But we are the lady, we are the church, we are the children. And so, given that Christians, these children, trust that the Bible is the Word of God, written and preserved for us, for God's people, then no matter who it is that John had in mind when he initially penned this letter, it is intended for them, but it's also intended for us today. This book of the Bible is for us today. So all Christian readers of 2 John should recognize what it says about us, the believers, then and now. And it says that we are loved in truth. We are loved by God, for sure, and also by John, and also by all who know the truth, which means loved by all the other believers. As believers, we are part of this all who know the truth. That is us. Why can I say this? Why can John write this? Well, verse 2 tells us the truth lives in us and will be with us forever. Those of us confessing Christ, seeking to honor Christ with our lives, we have a grace and mercy from God which brings peace with God, a peace that abides with us in truth and love. So if you are prone to think, "I can't handle the truth, you don't want me handling the truth, I might drop it and break it, don't give me the truth," you need to think again. As Christians, we are already handling the truth. This is true. How well we're handling the truth, well, that might be a different question. And actually, is a key question that we can draw from John's letter to us. Let's look at what he says in verses 4 through 6. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we've had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. You notice what he says in that very first line. Some of the believers are walking in truth. Some. Some are doing as the Father commanded. Some are walking as they should. In verse 1, John had stated the Christians, the lady, the church, have been chosen. We are God's chosen children. God has chosen us, chosen to live among us, to live within us, to implant the truth, the truth, his truth with his people. And so here is a big part of the truth we need to remember. The church is chosen. That's the truth. We, the chosen ones, are God's children. That's the truth. And as part of God's family, as his children, as these chosen ones, we are called to love the rest of our Father's family. That's truth. The chosen ones are to love the other chosen ones. This is how we honor our Heavenly Father. This is the Christian walk. This is walking in the truth. This walk of love in the truth, this is the walk of life. As Dire Straits sang to us back in the 1980s, after all the violence and double talk, there is a song in all the trouble and the strife. And that song is named Jesus. Because of Jesus, Christian, you do the walk. You do the walk of life. Ba-da, 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 ba-da. You'll never quite listen to that song the same way, will you? Are you doing the walk of life? Are you doing what you've been called to do? Are you walking in truth? Walking in loving service to other Christians? We need to understand the church knows the truth. The truth lives in the church. It is with the church. And the true church walks in the truth, in love. Those with the truth love those in the church. Those in the church are those in the truth. And this love is commanded, it says. The very nature of this love is that it is obedient to Christ's commands. It is rooted in truth. Not one of us is as obedient anyway as we should be, which is to say, perfectly obedient. No one is perfect. Although we are to aspire to do better, we are to progress in our walk of life, to live increasingly obedient lives. This is what we're called to aim to live lives that are perfect as Jesus is perfect. We call this process of doing better sanctification, big theological, biblical word there, sanctification. We're not rescued from our condition, the condition that finds us, absent Christ, condemned for our sin. We're not rescued from that by becoming increasingly sanctified, by doing better and better. We can never become sanctified enough to earn a righteous standing before God. That is not possible. This is why we need Jesus. The perfect one, perfectly obedient, lovingly giving his obedient record to his chosen ones. An obedient record that includes a sinless life as a human, a brutal, unfair death on a cross, and victory over death through his resurrection from the grave and ascension to heaven in power and authority. He is risen. This is the truth. Now, there are liars who deny this truth. Liars who deny the good news. These liars are distributors of fake news, not good news.
And we're going to pause there and pick up where we left off with the last half of the message next week on the Frederick Faith Debate. And that was the first half of a message called Truthers, Lovers, and Liars, based on 2 John verses 1 through 11. Or if you feel like you can say 2 John chapter 1 verses 1 through 11, there's only one chapter in 2 John. This is a kind of a special edition, I guess. We've had a few of these special editions lately because of scheduling conflicts. I hope to have Jace Broadhurst and other panelists on board. Not next week, obviously, as we're going to finish what we've started here for next week's program. But then after that, hopefully we'll have a panel show back up and running. Let me do this. I'm going to blast my ears out. I had to adjust something there, some volume. Little behind-the-scenes technological lingo there for you. Anyway, I want to thank our sponsors again for making this show possible. Hilo Auto Sales, online at HiloAutoSales.com. And Tire Pros of Frederick. I encourage you to visit us online. You can find us at www.wfmd.com. You can type in the word faith into the keyword search field, or you can hit the drop-down menu and find Faith Debate there, or you can go to the on-air schedule and find the Faith Debate on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock and click the link there. It takes you to the Faith Debate page, where you'll find a rundown of shows that have aired recently and what's coming up next week. And then you'll also find links to the podcast in case you missed the show or want to hear it again or caught part of it and want to hear it or want to share it with a friend or whatever. You can do that easily, or also on iTunes. So check us out on iTunes. And if you would, if you like what you hear on iTunes, like it. Click the little like button. Say you like it. Supposedly that does wonders for your health. Till next week, thanks for listening. 167 and a half hours from now, we'll do it again. God bless.